Great mercy and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. A statement used so often in our funeral services. Attaching our gospel reading for today to this verse, might it be possible to consider the thought that between the times of these two periods of death, perhaps our greatest calling in life might be to become clay? Clay of itself may not seem to be much of a material, but clay in the hands of the Creator, perhaps then it can be used to work miracles. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. When he had thus spoken, he sat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. A blind man who obviously has a need, the need to see. And in that need is inherent the need to live a more complete life. And Jesus comes along and meets this man, and he can almost feel the story building up to some sort of a heavenly climax. There's a need, there is Jesus with his own almighty healing word available, that perhaps is healing in God's eternal plan. All the ingredients are there for a sensational story. All the Lord needs to complete the picture is the healing process. And what will the material be? A simple word? A loving look? A lightning bolt from heaven? None of these. In a most unusual and unexpected action, the Lord Christ sits on the ground, makes clay of the spittle, anoints the blind man's eyes, tells him to go wash, and the man comes away healed, completely healed. The faith, of course, of this man that causes the healing process to take place, faith in the Lord's word. And yet the Lord uses clay as a material in this process. Why clay? I don't know. It might have been because clay at that time was so important to the building process to the common people that Jesus wished to remind them that the most lowly, humble, common material, when accompanied by God's word and used according to God's will, can work miracles. The rough application of this story need not really be made. If you are as I am, we probably marvel quite often that the Lord God can take something as simple theologically and as humble physically as we are and use us in his ministry. We are used to being reminded that we are God's hands and voices here on this earth, and God uses whatever he has available to accomplish his end. But sometimes it's encouraging to remind ourselves of the many ways in which our God can operate, and of the many uses to which he can put the materials of his creation. As we begin this last quarter of this academic year, as some of you begin your last formal quarter of education prior to accepting your first call into the ministry, or prior to your vicarage assignment, perhaps it is good to remind ourselves how we fit into God's plan. Lucy Dominus Fristra is the Latin motto inscribed on the seal of the synodical college in which I served before coming here. Translation of Psalm 127, verse 1, which indicates that human efforts are in vain unless it is the Lord who builds or uses or motivates He is always the master architect of any grand design. And here's all the purposes we merely the instrument, the material, which he will use. You see, the material of itself isn't all that much. The blind man could have rubbed his eyes with clay or any other miracle healing potion being touted at that time in the Holy Land or through the advertising agencies, whatever, without ever living to see again. God's healing power was there present in his word of promise, and faith in that word was what brought about the remedy. Just the materials themselves don't always work that way. People traveling to Europe this summer will wave goodbye to the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. And as they near the shores of England, they will see the Eddystone Lighthouse off Plymouth. It is England's welcome light. About 250 years ago, the first beacon was built there to warn ships off the reef. The builder, confident he had built a permanent structure, chiseled into its side, "Blow, O ye winds, rise, O ocean, break forth, ye elements, and try my work." Hardly 3 years later, while by coincidence the builder and his crew were making minor repairs, a hurricane turned the ocean into a fury and swept the lighthouse into the sea, and all the lives were lost. Some years later, John Smeaton, a pioneer in civil engineering, erected the present Eddystone light squarely on top of Eddystone, laying the foundation deep into its rock depth. But he built with faith and with prayer, and he engraved these words of Scripture: "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Nisi Domine Scriptura. Winds and waves far worse than those that wiped out that first lighthouse have raged against the present one. But for over 200 years it has stood unmoved. Now I realize that perhaps engineers could have studied that first structure and found it wanting. Perhaps the stresses were not properly measured, the foundation did not go deep enough, or some other human frailty was exposed. Perhaps you can be forgiven if from that story one application of it pertains to the fact that subjection to God's will and acknowledgement of God's power is much more important than what any man himself thinks he can accomplish by himself. So perhaps the illustration of the clay and the healing process becomes quite apropos to us. We spend a great deal of time studying the Scripture. Perhaps we learn better than most other men what is contained therein. It is faith, not head knowledge, not engineering skill, nor a vast acquaintance with patent medicine, that is the means by which God's grace in Jesus Christ comes to us. And when that faith says, "Take me and mold me and use me, Lord," then even we can be the stuff of this miracle anew. A college professor once talked to a young graduate and asked, "Well, is the college course all finished?" "Yes," the young man answered, "today I graduate." "And then," the professor asked, "I guess I will follow my profession. I'll probably marry, I plan to make a fortune and be a great success." "And then," the professor asked, "I suppose I'll retire. I'll travel and see the world. I'll take life easy. And then, by then I'll be old. I hope to enjoy my old age, and finally I'll die." "Everybody does, you know." "That's the final time," the professor asked. "And then?" The young man caught up. "A scripture tells us, what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Most of us, in our profession, are in little danger of gaining the whole world. And we have absolutely no danger of losing our souls. Jesus saw to that cross by living and dying and rising again for our sins. And so, I repeat the main thrust of our lesson for us today. God still uses the materials of his creation to work miracles among men. And you and I are clay in the hands of the Creator, of a very high calling indeed, so long as we remain malleable to him, so that we can be used according to his will. The material that we are, humble and holy, common, simple, will be used by our God for Christ's sake. Clay we are, but through faith in Christ, a special mixture of saintly clay, the highest grade there can be. God grant that we may be used for his purposes. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the life everlasting. Amen.